This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How your medicine gets to you got a little more complicated overnight. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Last night, the biggest prescription drug management companies in the country opted to stop doing business with what can be described as a kind of wholesale pharmacy. This drug dispensing company is called Philidor. It's based in Pennsylvania, and it's involved in a controversial relationship with the prominent drug company Valeant Pharmaceuticals. The Valeant board is looking into the possibility that this wholesale pharmacy was helping to pump up Valeant's own sales figures. To help us better understand this web, let's turn to Dan Mendelsohn, CEO of the healthcare advisory company Avalere Health. First, I wanted to know about who cut off whom last night. Doing the cutting, OptumRx, Express Scripts, and others.
Pharmacy benefit managers are companies that contract with drug companies and make those products available to pharmacies or employers or anyone who needs to purchase them. They sit in the middle between the purchaser and the pharmaceutical company that's producing the medicine.
These are the folks that did the cutting off overnight. They're not going to do business with a company called Philidor, which is not a pharmacy benefit manager. It's a what?
Yeah, so Philidor is a specialty pharmacy company. What they do is obtain these drugs from Valeant and then make them available for consumers.
You don't go down to a Philidor to pick up your prescription.
No, it's a specialty pharmacy, and in this case, it's offering the products that Valeant has produced.
So what the Valeant board of directors and perhaps authorities will look into is whether or not there was too cozy of a relationship between this Philidor, call it like a wholesale pharmacy, and Valeant, the pharmaceutical company. But what about people who actually have prescriptions that they need filled? Should they worry?
This is a case where if a consumer has a prescription, they're going to go to their pharmacy. The pharmacy is going to work it out. There are alternative medications here. If for whatever reason they can't obtain the drugs that are on the prescription, they'll be able to find something that works.
In your view, Dan, what is this development overnight really about?
I think pharmacy benefit managers are acting aggressively in the interests of their consumers to try to get drug costs down. And one of the ways that they're going to do that is by making sure that anyone who is providing the drugs is on the up and up and is doing what is in the interest of consumers. What I see happening here is that you have Express Scripts and other outstanding pharmacy benefit managers doing their job.
Dan Mendelsohn at the healthcare advisory company Avalere Health. Dan, thank you.
My pleasure.
Valeant makes the antidepressant Wellbutrin XL, among other things. Valeant stock is down 4.5% in pre-market trading. London's FTSE stock index is down 0.3% now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are essentially unchanged. Hot real estate markets and soaring rents in cities like New York, Boston, L.A. have brought story after story of iconic small businesses shutting down because they can't afford what the landlord now wants each month. In the coming days, in a famous real estate boomtown, San Francisco, voters will decide on a first-of-its-kind ballot proposal. It's called Proposition J. It aims to help struggling shops in that city by establishing a so-called Legacy Business Historic Preservation Fund. Already, it's become a model for other cities facing similar issues. Chrissy Clark from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk is here to tell us more. Hello, Chrissy.
Hey, David.
So what's the deal? One of these jewels of a business might be facing rent increases, and public policy wants to do what?
It's kind of a twist on historic preservation funds, except rather than preserving buildings, the money would help preserve the businesses inside those buildings, specifically these so-called legacy businesses that have been around for more than 30 years and have, in the words of the proposal, contributed to the history or identity of a particular neighborhood. And the goal would be to help these businesses keep up with rents that have been zooming up so high recently.
All right, but what about the people who actually own the buildings that these businesses are in? Would that money be seen as an incentive for the landlord just to jack up rent?
Right. Well, there would also be money available to landlords if they agree to enter into 10-year leases with these legacy businesses. So the idea would be that this would kind of add some stability to the real estate market so landlords wouldn't be able to just jack up rents like that.
And what might this cost San Francisco?
About $3 million in the first year. Of course, each year, another batch of businesses would be eligible, so the cost would keep growing. But David Campos, the San Francisco supervisor who drafted the proposal, says there's also a cost to losing so many long-standing San Francisco businesses.
If we wait and do nothing, are we going to be able to recognize San Francisco? And that's not to say that change doesn't happen. You know, change is the only constant, but it's really about balancing that change so that we preserve the businesses and institutions that we care about.
There's the cost issue. What about other opposition, Chrissy?
There are critics of this idea, including Quentin Kopp. He's a retired judge, former state senator, and longtime San Franciscan. And he says, sure, he gets sad when a favorite old-time business closes, but
it is fundamentally inimical to our system of government for taxpayers to be subsidizing private businesses, even under the romantic guise of being so-called legacy businesses. Businesses come and go.
Of course, supporters of Proposition J argue that the city already subsidizes some private businesses in the form of things like tax breaks to lure tech companies like Twitter to set up shop there. So they say they want to help some of these smaller businesses. But the voters will have to weigh all of this on Election Day.
Chrissy Clark from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.